Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith here with Greg Pickle once again. We're changing gears a little bit. We've talked plenty of football, Penn State basketball, Greg, and this is a first because, and I think it's a sign of progress for the program.
That's right.
It's the off season, and we're talking about it.
Without Jeff Brown, the honorable Jeff Brown, I'm thrilled to sit in for him on this topic today.
Well, because I know that Jeff Brown's going to love everything about it, so I figure, you know, you're cynical. We'll talk to you about it. We'll get a real level playing field.
That's right.
And I think the reason that we do this is Pat Chambers. It was such a topic all year long, whether he was or wasn't on the hot seat. He was on this show and laughed about it. I forget what he said exactly, but he's always on the hot seat. It is what it is.
Right.
In modern college athletics, big time athletics, that's the way it goes. But for him to get the extension that everybody was wondering and looking for, that happened late last week. He gets a new deal, 4-year deal. He was 2018-2019 was supposed to be his last year. Now he's got all the way through 2021-2022. Haven't seen a lot of the terms of that deal yet. Sandy Barber said even before they struck the deal that he deserved the extension. So here we are. I don't know if anybody from Penn State would really say it or not, but at their lowest point of this past season, I think there had to have been internal dialogue about whether they move on or whether they don't. And right. Whether that means that he was on any kind of hot seat or they were anywhere near ready to act on anything, we won't ever know that.
Right.
But it got bad before it got a lot better. And I think what happened this past season, you can talk at some point in time, Greg, and not yet.
Take your time.
But what happened this past season, it reminded me a little bit of what happened with Penn State, where something happens to ignite and help them turn a corner. In the case of Penn State football, they turned a corner for good. I think the hope here, and I believe it's very possible, is that Penn State basketball has also turned a corner for good.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that point. Of course, we'll have to see how they move forward without Tony Carr, who I know we'll talk about in just a little bit, as he got some good news over the weekend as well. But you look at what Penn State's done from a recruiting perspective. You get Mike Watkins back. Lamar Stevens is back. You get some other guys to hopefully step up and maybe show what they're capable of going into the next season. You lose Bostic, you lose Carr, okay. But for me, Dustin, I think that number one on the contract extension for Chambers, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you, as a Penn State fan, and look, I was wrong about this too. I thought their season was over when they lost to Ryder at home. I was certain of it, as a matter of fact. As certain as I was that Audible would win the Kentucky Derby. So I'm 0-2 on certainties. But, but you know, I think that for Pat, he obviously has done a lot to move this program in the right direction. You look at where they were when he got here. I know that there's a lot of people out there that will say 7 years, no NCAA tournament appearances. What are we doing extending this guy? I would say two things. One, he still had a year left on his contract, so he wasn't leaving before the start of the next season anyway. You need to show recruits that you're viably going to be around for the whole entirety of their career that you're trying to get. And, I mean, what is Penn State going to go out and get right now that – will, you know, put them leaps and bounds ahead of where they are with Chambers? I just think that there's at times a portion of the fan base that has a misunderstanding about what kind of talent Penn State can attract for that job. So all in all, it makes sense for me. Would I like to see Chambers maybe get an assistant that could handle a bit more of the game day stuff, X's and O's, that kind of stuff, drawing up plays? Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's any great, eye-opening observation from 100,000 miles away. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. But as it comes to the extension, it makes a lot of sense for Penn State. And like we've talked about in the past, they're moving in the right direction, but this is another big year. And I guess that's where fans get frustrated, because every year, since for the last, three or four, is the big year. The year they finally do this or finally do that. The NIT title was great, but let's be honest, there's a lot of people out there that want to see this team in the NCAA tournament. Is this the year they finally cracked the bubble? I don't know, but they're top 25, top 30 material from a lot of different sources and outlets going into the summer workout period, and then we'll see where things shake out once the fall gets here. We're a long way from that, but all of it makes sense, and they just had to get in front of the compensation committee to make it finalized.
And I do think it was a good move. I also, I think you, as you're going through last season, you know, they found a way to lose some games. Losing at home to Wisconsin before Ryder was equally unforgivable, I thought, at that point in time. And so losing, you know, midway through the season at home to a Ryder team that ended up having a pretty nice year.
Yeah.
But at each step along the way, through the middle part of the season, you know, they're losing pretty much all the close games. You know, you can throw Indiana in that group, you know, you know, losing at Minnesota at home in overtime, getting the doors blown off in overtime in that game. I mean, there's a lot of games there that Penn State would like to have back, and maybe just one or two of them go if they go Penn State's way. Penn State's an NCAA tournament team, and I do think that they could have been disruptive if they got there. But I think it just took a little bit of time for this team to mature collectively, and then it wasn't in a position when they dealt with personnel losses. You know, when Josh Reeves misses time, late in the season, Mike Watkins misses time. They just weren't in a position until late in the year. Their identity hadn't really been sculpted out yet. I think that they have a certain collective identity and a certain collective team maturity that ended up showing late. And I think in a lot of ways that can help them move on post Tony Carr, because that's the big variable next. You've experienced all this success, but your best player now is off to the NBA. A lot of people thought that he could have done a little bit better for himself by coming back. It's going to be a new set of challenges, but I feel pretty good that this is not the same old Penn State basketball program.
Where do you stand? And we're a little bit late in the game to have this conversation, but we haven't had it yet, at least you and I. So where do you stand on the whole NIT tournament title or losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament argument?
I think getting the NCAA tournament bid means as much as anything. And if you get in as a 9, say, or a 10 and lose to a 7 or an 8, I would take that over the NIT title.
Yeah,
honestly,
so I
think
so we're on the same page there.
It has such a junior, fair or not, it has such a junior varsity feel.
Right.
That just the term NIT, right?
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people just discount it right off the bat, and it's almost like an invitation to mock more than anything.
Right.
I think the trick with the NIT is how many teams really are excited to be there.
Right.
And the fact that Penn State was excited to be there and wasn't letting any kind of lingering disappointment, the fact that they beat a bunch of good teams without Mike Watkins is another thing. I think there's a lot of good stuff to glean from it, but if I'm choosing, I would rather lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. I think that when Penn State looks at what it was able to accomplish, it certainly should help. It certainly should help the fact that they, got a lot of guys' experience because Mike Watkins was out, and because some other guys missed time. So I think that it should help. But you go back to 2009, Penn State won the NIT tournament. Then did not make the NCAA tournament following that run. I'm just looking at a list here from SB Nation. I mean, there has been some correlation to winning the NIT title and then going to the NCAA tournament the following year. Not as much as you would think, though. It's certainly not a guaranteed springboard. I guess what I would say is there seems to be a very black and white part of this argument for a lot of people that say there's no value in the NIT tournament, and I think there is to some extent. Again, you get a guys a lot of experience that they wouldn't have had otherwise, but certainly it's not the 1+1 = 2 correlation that some want it to be as well. So we'll see how it all plays out, but it's no question that they will have to take another step forward. But again, what it comes down to me is, you just said it a few minutes ago, they were a game or two here or there. They're not different from the football program in this regard, that they were a game or two here and there from probably being a tournament team. And it was unfortunate that, if you beat Ryder at home, if you find a way to sneak out a win over NC State in the Big Ten ACC tournament challenge, if you are able to maybe turn a 4-point loss to Indiana or Maryland into a win, you're probably in.
And here's what else I would say about the NIT is just from a feel perspective. So the fact that Lamar Stevens was the better player in the NIT in the postseason than Tony Carr, I think that's an encouraging thing, because this is now your number one guy. And I feel better about Lamar Stevens today than I did, going into the NIT. I think he showed a lot that he can be a primetime scorer. Also, what happened was, without Watkins, John Hara, he got playing time he never would have gotten.
Right.
And he wasn't ever going to be a steady stream of double-double guy, but He hit the glass. He played a really good 18, yep. 20, 22 minutes. And what the team lacked this season was depth.
Yeah.
You know, and that showed up in a number of ways. The fact that you take a good step forward in terms of depth is a good thing. I also think that they got two guards in this 18 class that are capable of playing earlier than not. Miles Dredd, who a lot of people expect to play early, a really good shooter, a really tough defender, seems to really embody what Pat Chambers is looking for. Then this past week, they got a commitment from Myron Jones, who's from Georgia, who's a four-star in the 24/7 composite. He was looking at a lot of good schools down there. He picked Penn State. He's listed as a combo guard. Good handle. I like, you know, his shooting base is really good. He just looks like a guy who could play right away, too. I think that some physical maturity has to happen. He's listed at 170 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's quite enough. But Penn State, either way, whether it's, you know, Jones or Dredd or whatever, they're going to need one or two of these guys to come in as freshmen and try to make up for what they lost in Tony Carr.
Yeah, I was told this comparison was wrong, and I honestly don't think it is. But the Jones commitment reminds me a lot of Torrence Brown and Christian Campbell when they committed to the football team. And not just because, you know, Jones is from Alabama and so are those two guys, but the fact that he was looking for a school late. He was committed to Memphis. Tubby Smith leaves. Penny Hardaway comes in. I don't know if Jones lost favor with Memphis or vice versa, but regardless, he was not going to Memphis. So he needed a home. And Torrence Brown and Christian Campbell, the difference, though, is that they had a home with Penn State. Well, Brown didn't. Campbell did. But Brown did not. He flipped from UAB or Southern Alabama or something right at the last minute and picked Penn State because he needed a home and signing day was near. And not that Jones was facing a signing day situation, but you got to get on campus sometime in the summer if you hope to play in the fall, and he needed to find a home. And Penn State had a spot, and he's a guy that has shown some really nice things with his raw potential, but he needs to grow a little bit, and so did those two guys. And now look where they're at heading into, you know, the back end of their Penn State career. So I think that if Penn State could get something like that out of him, maybe a little bit quicker than those two guys were able to on the football field, certainly he has a nice reviews and evaluations for a guy that you could pick up on, what, May 2? You can't really find one better than that, I don't think.
Yeah, a really good late addition. And like I said, I think he's a real player and what Penn State's looking for. We mentioned that Tony Carr is going to the NBA Combine. It's a good thing for him in the end. It still begs the question, declaring for the draft, signing with an agent as a probable
second
rounder.
We'll find out soon enough.
We will find out. Maybe he can help himself a little bit out there. We got a little bit more show coming up here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg, probably not any Penn State basketball. We'll take some football and recruiting questions from you guys coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.